Thank you all very much for coming. So today I'm going to talk about some of the postdoc work I've been doing, looking at how fungi interact with selenium and mediate redox reactions, and also in comparison to some other abiotic reactions that may be occurring. So just quickly start and thank my co-advisors, Kara Santelli and Bruce James, as well as a really fantastic RU student that we had do a bunch of work with us from Louisiana State University. So as I said, I'm going to be talking about selenium. And selenium is a really interesting and dynamic element. It's both a micronutrient and a toxin. And so it shows very, very strong negative impacts to humans and other animals through both deficiency and toxicity. But the key thing about selenium, as opposed to some of the other elements that show this nature, is that there's really only about one order of magnitude difference between deficiency and toxicity. And so just sort of to orient you, for other elements, things like zinc or copper that we also know are micronutrients but also toxins, the difference is going to be much more like 100 or 1,000 times different between deficiency and toxicity. So that window is really narrow for selenium, and understanding what might influence selenium getting into the food chain and getting around into animals' diets is really important. Selenium bioavailability and toxicity is really driven by its form. I will spoil my talk. If you get nothing else, selenium speciation, selenium oxidation state is really, really important for a lot of the different things that are going on. There are four main forms of selenium in soils. We have two on the more oxidized end, we have two water-soluble oxyanions that form. Selenium 6 forms selenate, and then selenium 4 forms selenite. We have a more reduced elemental selenium 0, and then we also have an even more reduced selenium minus 2, which forms mostly insoluble or volatile compounds. I'm not really going to be focusing on those today, but they do occur, mostly in anaerobic environments. And the key thing is really to know that transformations between these different forms, between the different oxidation states, can occur both by microbial processes and by abiotic processes. And so understanding and sort of teasing out what is happening abiotically and biotically is really important. And then lastly, why are we interested in studying fungi and selenium? Out in the environment, in the real world, when we have plants growing, we also have lots of microbes around, and lots of fungi often interact with plants, directly with plant roots. And as I said, selenium, understanding how selenium gets into the food chain, plants are really the main route of exposure for humans and animals for consuming selenium. And so understanding how selenium is moving from soils into plants is really important. So I started my postdoc. I went to work with Kara. She's done a lot with fungal manganese oxidation, fungal biominerals. And we wanted to start looking at selenium. And we realized that when we started looking into the literature and looking at what's been done, very little was known about aerobic transformations of selenium, and very, very, very little was known about how fungi interacted with selenium. So we started asking much simpler questions, very simple questions, like, do fungi interact with selenium? And what transformations might they mediate? So I can tell you right now, fungi can actually aerobically reduce both selenium 4 and selenium 6 to elemental selenium. This is one of the species we worked with, Alternaria alternata, and grown in a range of concentrations from 0 millimolar selenium 4 all the way to 1 millimolar selenium 4 on the right. And you see a couple things. So first you see that growth is really drastically changed as the organism grows with selenium 4. When fungi grow, they grow very differently than bacteria, so you don't expect colonies. Instead, what you expect is that a fungus is going to grow radially outwards, or in a circle outwards from the center of the plate. So at the high concentrations of selenium 4, we start seeing that radial growth really broken down. The organism is no longer really growing in a circle. And we also see the production of various pigments. We see some black pigments and also some red pigments. And the red pigments are really indicative of biogenic elemental selenium. And I'll talk a little bit more about how we characterize that in a second. But I also just wanted to sort of give you some reference on where we are in terms of selenium values in the environment. So at the low end, we have sort of a very, very low concentration that would be equivalent to the EPA drinking water standard. We also have a pretty low proposed aquatic life criterion. But on the higher end, at about 0.01 to 0.2 millimolars, selenium, we're going to see that in a typical contaminated soil or surface water. And then at the very high end, at about 0.5 millimolar, that's where we're starting to see our most contaminated environments, things like wastewater treatment plants and stuff like that. We also looked at these guys under scanning electron microscopy. So this is what a fungus looks like when you look at it with SEM. You have the hyphae growing all over. There's a big mat and network of filaments. So this is the organism grown without any selenium. When we start adding selenium-4 in to the media, we start seeing the production of these elemental selenium nanoparticles. And that's shown by these bright white spots in these images. As we increase the concentration, probably not surprisingly, we see more and more production of these elemental selenium nanoparticles. So that is super cool. And it was really exciting to see that these organisms were doing this. We weren't necessarily positive that this would happen. But I'm a chemist, and I'm a soil chemist, and so I said, but what about the abiotic processes? How do those compare to some of these fungal processes? Can that happen as well? I probably don't need to convince any of you that soils are very complicated. So there are a wide variety of different things that can mediate different redox reactions. We have reactive minerals. We have dissolved organic matter and things like that, as well as a wide diversity of microorganisms in soils. So we designed a simpler soil system, microcosms, in order to try and look at what these different components of soils might do for selenium redox reactions. We used a couple different treatments. We used manganese 3,4 oxides for sort of our reactive soil, reactive mineral component. We used oxalic acid as our dissolved organic matter component. And then we used a fungal treatment. And again, we're using that same species, Alternaria alternata. And we incubated these in 0.1 millimolar of either selenium-4 as sodium selenite or selenium-6 as sodium selenate. And then we measured the selenium-4 and selenium-6 concentrations in solution over about a month using ion chromatography. And this is what that data looks like. There's a bunch of treatments on here, so don't get too bogged down in what they all are, because the main thing is that all the open symbols, they all represent treatments that had no fungus in them when incubated with selenium-4, and all the closed symbols represent treatments that did contain fungus. And very clearly, when fungus is present, we see a huge loss in selenium-4 from solution. So this is plotted as selenium-4 remaining in solution as a percent of what the initial concentration was. So we see a huge loss in selenium-4 over the course of that month. We can then actually zoom in just on this last time point, the very end of the experiment, and look at the different treatments. So on here we have a whole bunch of different things. I'll try and go through it. We have the green blocks are treatments with fungus. The beige blocks have no fungus. The first two blocks were treatments that contained manganese oxides, and the second two blocks contained no manganese oxides. And then within each block, we have a dark blue bar that represents the treatment with oxalic acid and a light blue bar without oxalic acid. I always go through all of this. It takes so much effort to talk about all of the treatments. It really doesn't matter. When fungi is present, we see a huge loss in selenium. 60 to 80% of the selenium-4 is removed from solution. When no fungus is present, we basically see no loss of selenium-4 from solution. So that was really, really interesting. And we also, I will say, see a huge production of these elemental selenium nanoparticles. And that's both visually and microscopically using SEM. When we look at selenium-6, we actually see a very different story. So instead of seeing any differences at all with any treatments, we see about 20% selenium-6 lost from solution regardless of treatment. It doesn't matter if there's fungus present. It doesn't matter what abiotic treatment we're giving it. It doesn't matter if there's a combination. We see about 20% selenium-6 lost. Because of this sort of consistency across all the treatments, it really seems to imply that there's something else going on, something abiotic across all the treatments, something in the media, potentially organic or inorganic, that's complexing that selenium 6 at this low but very consistent level across all the treatments. So just to kind of wrap up on this and sort of summarize what the mechanisms we think are going on in terms of selenium removal from these solutions. When we have selenium 4, we have a huge end fungus present. We have a huge removal, about 60 to 80% of that selenium 4 can be removed. A large part of that is going to be reduced to elemental selenium. We can't rule out that there could be some other reduction to selenium minus 2 or some sort of no redox happening and just pure complexation with either inorganics or organics. But because of the large proportion of elemental selenium that we do see produced, we think that's a huge portion of what's going on. For selenium 6, it's much more murky and questionable as of right now. We don't see any elemental selenium production occurring, so if it is at this concentration, if it is occurring, it's below detection right now, but I guess it could be happening. There could also be some sort of reduction to selenium minus 2 or complexation, again, with either inorganic or organic components of the media. And then just one last thing. This actually really bore out really, really nicely across multiple species. So we actually looked at 6 different fungal species. They're all metal tolerant, but had not really been looked at with selenium before. And across the board, for almost all these species, we see substantially more selenium 4 removed from solution than we do selenium 6. And in fact, this is only after 5 days. When we look at this after 40 days, we see that the selenium 4 removal process is a much more continual or progressive process, where we continue to see selenium 4 removed until, for several of the species, almost 100% is removed from solution. On the other hand, the selenium 6, really whatever happens 5 days in is what's happening throughout the entire experiment, which really gives sort of further evidence that it's something more abiotic happening. So just kind of to wrap up, as I said, fungi can aerobically reduce selenium oxyanions to nanoparticulate elemental selenium. Fungi can really massively influence the selenium 4 concentration in solution, removing up to 60 to 80% of selenium 4 from solution. For selenium 6, we see this sort of low but consistent about 20% selenium 6 lost from solution. But the removal mechanism is still very unclear, and hopefully we can start working on that a little bit. And then just backing up and thinking about this a little bit more broadly, you know, fungi can really be very important factors for limiting selenium mobility within contaminated systems and also out of those contaminated systems. But really understanding what the speciation is, what the forms are that you have in your specific site, is really going to be very important for developing efficient remediation strategies. And so with that, I can take any questions.
It's just an easy one, but were you measuring selenium 6 and selenium 4 in both treatments?
Yeah, so we
met.
No, we never saw any production of selenium 4 in the selenium 6 treatments, or, you know, reverse oxidation of selenium 4 to selenium 6. We actually thought we would. I'm not ruling that out as something that might be happening. It just may be consumed so fast that you never see it.
So if you're able to aerobically reduce selenium, how sensitive is reduced selenium for reoxidation?
So the question is, how sensitive are these elemental selenium nanoparticles for reoxidation? And I would say right now we don't totally know. I 100% agree. I really want to know. We really want to start looking into some of the reactivity of them. I'll say they're quite shelf stable. We leave them out for months, and I even have samples for a year, and they haven't been reoxidized. And they're in aerobic environments. But they are still associated with that biomass. And so if you were to remove them, I don't know how reactive they would be. But hopefully we will know someday.
I'm sorry, I think I cannot take any more questions at the moment. We have one more talk, and afterwards you can ask as many questions as you can. Okay, thank you very much for a very interesting.